Welcome back, everybody, to Overdunk. This is episode 56 of your favorite competitive Pokemon Unite podcast. I am your host, Zoinks, joined by my two co-hosts, Doofsnax and Lazadin. How are you two? Doofsnax, how's your last couple of weeks been? It's been a while.
Doing good. Hanging in there. Excited to be back. Lots to talk about, of course. Trying to figure out the lighting that I've got going on here, which doesn't make me either look like a ghost or like I just walked out of a tanning bed. So we'll see what happens.
The angelic glow you have about you is pretty incredible, but I will say the ball cap then casting the shadow over your face is quite the, the two tones you have going on. Some contrast on your camera. I like
it. We call that a combo breaker.
We call it telling a story with your camera, and I'm into it. Lazadin, how has your last couple of weeks been? I also, before you talk, a congratulations is in order. Ascended your now reigning NA February finals champions, so congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's been pretty good, was a nice week of prep leading up to it, and I'm excited to prep for a solid week on a new patch before qualifier.
Hey, it's more time than we had for this last tournament, so I think we have
by one day.
So yes, exactly. By one day, but it counts. But yes, we have more prep to do. We also have some exciting news for your team, not actual official news, chat. Don't worry, we're not leaking anything, but some exciting information coming up from the players of Ascended. I'm excited to discuss some of that. But on the docket today, we have February finals recap to talk about EU and North America and some other regions, ACL going on in the other regions that don't quite have their UCS stuff spun up quite yet, winter tournament, things like that. And then, of course, we have a bunch of news to talk about at the end of the show. A quick housekeeping thing, though, I want to bring up at the start of the show. Ender, who is normally as a host with us, just not going to be joining for the ongoing months, just competitive player, takes a lot of time, things like that. They got to be dedicated to that. Ender, obviously, always welcome back on the show whenever they would like to participate. So, but right now, we got us three legendary hosts holding it down. Two, we did have no episode at the normal time last week. So if you're missing it in your feed, sorry about that. But we did have a special episode come out this weekend. I was able to interview the EU winners of the February finals, Talibobo Believers. We have a few Talibobo Believers on here on this show. It was a fantastic interview. Toon and I have a lot of beef, but it's all fixed in that episode. It's not. I actually think we have more beef after the episode. But it was a lot of fun. A good interview, a good just kind of peek into the brains of this championship team. Seriously, I think everybody considers them to be the best in Europe by a wide margin. That being said, it was a pretty amazing grand finals that they participated in. So with that, let's start talking about February finals. This is our first official UCS broadcasted tournament. Doofsnax, you were on the mics for this one. How did it feel to be watching some new teams, some old teams, and just really the height of competition in both Europe and NA?
I think when I mentioned our pre-show, our pre-February final show, is I thought the skill disparity between 1 and 8 in EU is smaller than in NA. Mm-hmm. And I think that led for that portion of the event, or that portion of the day, to be much more exciting. The standout to me, that event, was definitely Zephyr Esport. They looked surprisingly strong in a way that I don't think anybody anticipated, including myself. So that's exciting. That's like very exciting to me that they were literally, 2.5 minutes away from taking down Nouns, which was impressive in and of itself. So I think the EU has a ton going on for it. It's very exciting. I can't speak highly enough of the EU event and the top 8 teams that qualified, for sure.
Yeah, they were amazing. I will say there was one person that expected Zephyr to do very well. It's me, number one Navorix fanboy. True. Maybe didn't give the whole team a lot of gas, but I certainly have given it over to Navorix. I love that player. I'm glad to see they're getting some success. But Lazadin, were you able to watch much of EU, pay attention to it, or were you just all hyper-focused on North America?
Yeah, I caught a solid chunk of it day of, and then Like, especially like the grand finals, I was just sitting there watching because it was like, well, you know, like this, whenever this ends is when our game begins.
So yeah, that is true.
But also like earlier today, actually, I was hanging out like with some people from my server and like we were watching the U games. And it was very, very interesting. I was fascinated by some of the drafts.
Okay. That could be a positive Espeon term. Doesn't sound like
really,
it was.
Really, really got interesting. Okay. Like overall, EU did feel very, very strong. I would say on average, the EU games were better than the North American games.
Parity was closer, you think then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, well, not like both, like in terms of like they were closer and also like, I think that just the gameplay quality was a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm a big old NA fangirl here, but
sure,
I gotta hand it to them. They just were playing better on the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's been kind of the trend. If we're looking at the stonks, EU stonks been going up quite a bit. NA maybe in a bit of a plateau. We'll see. World Championships maybe making us relax a little bit too much. Europe is trying to take advantage of that. Who knows? Who knows? Let's bring up the bracket here to talk about what went down in our February finals. Obviously, only a few of these games were broadcasted. So if we're looking at the full top eight. Nouns is up against Tilted first round. Also, when we talk about the bracket and our predictions, I have what I like to call a curse, but a lot of people will just call lack of ability to predict how they're going to seed these brackets and put them on the right sides and all the things like that. Next time, I'll make sure to run it by smarter people like Lazadin before I brought up our brackets for us to predict for the pre-shows. But anyway, okay. This is where our bracket went out. Any big shockers for anyone, like big surprises that came out of this tournament? Deucenext, you mentioned Zephyr making it as far as they did and playing as competitively against Nouns was a big surprise for you. I think we can all agree Banana Boys going 0-2 in this top 8 definitely was a surprise to me. I thought they would lose the Time to Shine first, but I did not think that they would be going out to a team like Tilted. Tilted played pretty well, though, so I can't take that away from them. But yeah, that was a big surprise to me. Woof Woof also not making it as far, but having to play Nouns in the second round of losers definitely was not a part of the script for them. But
I mean, Time to Shine sending Nouns to the losers bracket, I think, is definitely worth noting for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I did get a message from Gek Okami, one of the homies, one of my best friends in the EU scene, mid-tournament when they beat Nouns. And I got a message that said, we had to make at least one of your bold predictions right. So shout out to the EU friends for making my some of my Twitter predictions correct. Time to Shine making top 4. Pretty hype. Beating Nouns 2-1. It was written in the stars, though, if you think about it. Nouns adores that loser's bracket for some reason. Do not know why, but they love being down there, and they love being down there early, so Time to Shine got the ticket to send there. But yeah, I think that team is looking very impressive. I honestly think for Time to Shine, it just feels like they're finally finding some of that potential that we know they all have. Those are big names on that roster. When we see it come to fruition, it's very exciting, but it felt like this offseason it took them a lot longer than everyone expected to really get up to this momentum. So exciting times for Time to Shine for sure. Lazadin, any big surprises for you when looking at this EU bracket?
Yeah, I would say it's a little unfortunate the way the bracket played out for some of the teams. Like, either like Woof Woof, I think, was kind of doomed because either they got the Nouns there or they got Time to Shine there, and both of those were going to be like really, really hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Banana Boys, I called them a dark horse last time, but I did that knowing full well that they as a team are a little inconsistent. And when I saw them get 2-0, I was like, oh, they're all my dude. So it wasn't like a super big surprise. Okay. But yeah, other than that, I think the grand finals was also a little bit more chaotic than I expected it to be. Like that series was very, very back and forth. That last game was absolute insanity.
Yes. I think it begs the question, is it the most exciting grand finals we have had in Unite history, period? Like, I'm talking...
it's gotta be close, yeah.
All
there's a chance. There's all a very tournaments. Good chance.
Like, okay, Worlds, wipe it away. I mean, it was great. We watched Ascend at that point, Blackhead, when that one was over.
Yeah.
When everybody loaded into that lobby, that game was... It was over. So, but in terms of excitement of Grand Finals games, Nouns versus Tally Vote Believers and the reset was like... unbelievable. One of the best matches we've had so far. I think some people will often reference to G4. Dupes Next, you got to cast over the legendary Team Shiny last minute scores to get themselves their win as well. So actually, let me put you on the hot seat. That game or this game? Which one was more exciting, Tube Snacks?
Yeah, in turn, I've got to say this one.
Okay.
You know, not to undersell what G4 put together at all, because I think that was incredibly valuable to the community. But just UCS kicking off Season 2, what the stakes are, championship points matter. I mean, come on, you can't draw it up better than a bracket reset than going to game 3, right? Like, it's to the rails. It was awesome. I gotta give it to this one for sure, the February finals.
Okay. Yeah, NA AOS Cup finals, I'll hold a special place in my heart, of course, but that's probably just got a lot of personal bias that are mixed with that one. But I think the meta in this tournament was a bit better than that one. So I think that'll be the shining edge to push this one. So all that to say about EU February finals, if you were listening to this podcast and you somehow did not watch that tournament, I doubt the crossover between listeners of this show and watchers of UCS is not a perfect circle. But if you are somehow in the Venn diagram that just listened and didn't get to watch, make sure you watch the grand finals of EU at least. Mm-hmm. That game is Unite history for sure, for sure. Any more thoughts on February finals EU before we move on to North America?
If you have to watch one series from both regions, it is Noun's Talibobo, the second, like the third series rather, or no, the second series, the second series.
Yeah.
And then Amaterasu TTV
from. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Super exciting games across the board. I mean, great exciting teams. But that being said, let's jump over to North America, like you just said. So,
can I say one more thing about EU real quick?
Yeah.
I don't think they get a lot of shine. Just overall, like whether it's on coverage, whether we're talking about it online, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I think Red Maw is much more invaluable to Nouns than a lot of people inherently give them credit for. Just watching some of the moves there, it's so weird, right? Because they're an undersung hero, I think, except to those four other players that are on Nouns, where they literally just turn to him and say, like, we're going to need you to help us here. And then he's like, all right. And then he just like randomly like spikes games where he has like 8 KOs, 7 assists, a bazillion damage and a trillion points. Mm-hmm. He just, every series, it's like, okay, Red Maw's the, I don't want to say the anchor of the squad. You know what? I will say the anchor of the squad because he keeps them consistent.
Yeah.
And because he's not as animated or as, readily active on Twitter or social media or anime. Like I said, I just think he gets kind of undersold, underrepresented. I just want to shout out Red Maw because it's always impressive to watch them play. And I think they're absolutely invaluable to that team, without a doubt.
I think that's a really good point. I do think that Red Maw is undersold. I think a lot of it just comes from history, because Nouns has played together mm-hmm. for a long, long time. So we've seen many iterations of what Nouns has brought to the table. Yes, roster changes, but also just play styles as they've gotten better as a team and they've worked together and increased their individual skill. Because mm-hmm. if we remember, when Red Maw first came onto the competitive scene and was a very, very good player at the time, but his play style was radically different from every other top laner. He would stand on pad and defend his top lane pad with the least aggressive Lucario players that we had ever seen in the game, but put up great results, was playing power-up punch every single time, even though extreme speed was the play in a lot of tournaments, or at least was the general consensus of what the best play was. But Red Maw stuck to his guns, played this very consistent, more steadfast style of play, which is not as flashy and it is not as explosive. And I do think that Red Maw has opened up their gameplay to a lot more avenues. When they played Serena at Worlds, it took me by surprise with how well they played that Pokemon and really took over a lot of games. And now playing Urshifu and just a lot of other fantastic topics, I think Red Maw's opened up their gameplay to be able to play a lot of other strategies as well. But I do think there's just a little bit of that history that sticks around of Red Maw being the passive player. But we also have to remember the dual side of that coin is Redmaw's also the results player. Like, let's not abandon that narrative when we discuss this player. Also, huge shout out. Thank you, Oblivion, for the raid.
Yeah, without a doubt. And just to cap it, I mean, I think in Redmaw doesn't stream, Gatlu streams, Adesu doesn't stream as much, but like Adesu was one of the most cartoon characters to watch on stage. They were super animated, very energetic, incredible to watch. Geese as well streams, great online presence, and then Bruv, of course, stream. Like, when you have four other players that are literally in everybody's face every single day, and are incredibly charismatic and incredibly positive about the game, I think mentally you kind of lead Redmaw behind, but I think he's just an absolute mutant. I love watching Redmaw play. I think, like you said, incredibly unique player, and just wanted to make sure we give them some shine before we move from EU to NA.
Giving them the flowers.
I definitely think that his Pop Lucario special is one of the best.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And that's the thing about Redmaw, right? There's these narratives that we can discuss, like I mentioned, playstyle-wise, blah, 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 but you flowers have to be given for what they have earned, and they truly are one of the best in these certain playstyles, which is really cool to see. One more thing I want to talk about in EU. We talked about how WoofWoof kind of got a rough draw in this tournament. The two teams they lost to were Talipopo and Nouns. That's rough. That was kind of the Apprentice Unleashed curse last year in UCS. Mm-hmm. They kept getting running into like two best teams, or even losing to one team twice in a tournament. Because again, Nouns loves the loser's bracket. But yeah, what's up, Les?
Are we blaming Shelvin or Gek? Because both of them were on Apprentice last year. So if the curse just moved over, then it's got to be one of their two faults. I'm looking at
you. They're not on Wolf Wolf, though, right? Neither of them are on
Wolf Wolf. Sorry.
Yeah, but you're
I got my two rosters doing that. Dogwater has an Apprentice player, doesn't it? Am I crazy?
Eberling is on their team, right? Okay, hold on. Let me look. Let me look real fast. But they have six human. Did play on Apprentice Unleashed a little bit last year, I think. But either way,
so it's all human's fault.
One thing I do want to say about Woof Woof on this show, that if you were listening to our interview with Talipopo, Talipopo has a lot of respect for Woof Woof. I talked with them at length about if the tournament to represent Worlds or represent EU at Worlds was this weekend, who would be there? Every single member of that squad was saying Nouns, Talipopo, Woof Woof, and pick another team. So a lot of respect being thrown to that team's direction from the best in the game right now. So yes, they went out early in this bracket. Yes, they didn't get to be on broadcast and get casted or anything like that. But still, if you are watching, keep a close eye on Woof Woof or Dogwater or whatever UCS decides their team name needs to be, because they are a group of five phenomenal players. But we talked a lot about Europe. Let's get over to the second best region, North America. There are tears streaming down my face. Let's discuss this bracket. So, TTV, Ignorance, Amaterasu, Wish, Ascended, Unknown, Kaizen, and Radiance. I think we talked about on our preview show that we had two absolute banger games immediately out the gate. Now, it's Kaizen, Radiance, and I think Amaterasu, Wish. We both thought that those would be fantastic games. Wish not having the best performance in this tournament, going out 0-2, but Kaizen versus Radiance, I think, delivered 2-1. Crazy first game. They were able to take down Radiance, I think, was a big upset. Radiance, unfortunately, also going 0-2 in this one after a close game to Kaizen. But yeah, let's taking a look at the general bracket. Any general thoughts on North America? Dupes next.
Ignorance, baby. Come on. That's a ride. That team was a ride. I think it's evident that TTV kind of cracked the Ignorance code. They had very specific non-global bans, right? When I say non-global, I don't mean like the ones imposed to us by the UCS, but I mean like Mew or something like that. Like, they were incredibly targeted to Ignorance, for example, like going directly after Delphox, which is kind of a linchpin of Ignorance's success.
Right.
So Ignorance is going to have to develop a little bit more going into March, but for a team built out of ladder players that came through, holy smokes, you have to give them every ounce of credit. Nobody thought, and certainly not on this podcast, thought they were going to make it to out of the loser's bracket, let alone to top four, onto broadcast. I mean, shout out to Ignorance. Big time, tip of the cap. Applaud to you.
Yeah, Lesson, you had some pretty distinct thoughts on ignorance, I believe. How you feeling about their performance?
I was correct, wasn't I? I said there was no shot they ever beat TTV.
Okay, sure. That is technically true. That is technically true. I suppose you are correct. But yeah, ignorance having a crazy performance.
Yeah, it was a very, very... It was a combination of a very, very good run from them and also a lot of very, very critical mistakes on the other side. Like, I will not... How do I say this? I am embarrassed that a Assault Vest Stored Power Psyche Best Beyond got to top four.
Yeah, that is a question mark. I mean, no matter the way you look at it, that is a question mark. Of why
game one against TTV, it looked absolutely disgusting. It looked nasty.
Oh, it was. It shouldn't.
Listen. Look, Laz, sorry for cutting you off. I know it's ridiculous on paper, but it was working. So, like, at some point, you have to stop saying that shouldn't be doing this and ask, why is it doing this? And if it's all mistakes on, like, you know, the one team's end, fine. But you can't just absolutely throw it into the ether that is wrong when they scrubbed a bunch of teams, whatever.
And I do get that, because, like, obviously if somebody gets top four, you do need to, like, take a closer examination of, like, what actually happened here. Mm-hmm. And I did do that, right? Like I mentioned, I literally watched the entire broadcast with some people from my server earlier. The conclusion I came to was, wow, our region is fantastic at throwing.
Right. That is true.
But, like, and again, like, I'm not trying to downplay what Ignorance did. Like, don't get me wrong. They did really, really well. Like, the fact that they got top four is absolute insanity. Like, they played... Mm-hmm. Extremely well. They played a style that people were not used to. They kept a lot of their same macro plays, and people just didn't respect them enough to prepare for them.
Yeah, that is a big problem too. I mean, when that comes, not that many people had. I mean, not saying they didn't have as much tape is actually probably not incorrect. I mean, all these teams that are in this top eight are ladder grinders. They're going to see this team quite a bit. So, yeah, I think it was a little bit of disrespect in Ignorance's direction to not prepare for them. But I do think is a huge shout out to Ignorance to beat the teams that they did. They did take a game win against Wish. They took a game win against Kaizen. Those are both really, really solid teams. Kaizen coming in as the third seed in this tournament. I expected them to be going a lot farther. Did not expect them to go out to Ignorance. And I think that's probably Ignorance's best feather in their cap is that game win in Losers Round 2. Big shout out for them. That is a big surprise. But Lazna, before I want to hear about Ascended's run through the bracket. You want to give me a quick recap of because obviously we didn't get to see the first two rounds on stream. So what were the games like? Unknown, like, it was a 2-1 scoreline. So obviously a little close.
So what happened was we were like game one. What happened was we left Rayquaza on one, and a Delphox Flame Charge stole it.
Oh,
so that's how we lost that game.
I hate. Okay, I want to go on on air. I hate Flame Charge as a move so much. The amount of mystical fires I see these players miss and still come away with 80k, 90k damage games because Flame Charge just auto hits for them when they miss on their little drive-by attack again and again. Oh my word, it's so frustrating. Anyway, continue.
Yep, and yeah, Oblivion just mentioned it too. We went for a risky pick and died while we were up defending and ended up having to forward defense. It was shenanigans. Like, it was, it was like, you know, like, it was like a, like, okay, let's
was that game one?
Actually participate. Yes, this was game one.
The
next two games were particularly close. And then after that, Kaizen was also not on broadcast, I believe.
That one wouldn't
those be. Were... relatively close, I will say that. Like, they put up a decent fight. But we were, like... I will admit, I don't remember, like, too much of the details of that series in particular.
No, you're fine.
But they were decently close.
Do you remember, general draft strategy that Ascended was bringing to the tournament along the entire way? I mean,
it's extremely simple.
Okay.
You just pick Slowbro.
Yes, that was a very good pick for this. Okay, and this is actually something we discussed on the Telebobo interview a little bit. I can't remember. I think it was a part of the interview. We had, what was it, 4 general bans by UCS put on top of the game, and those included Scyther, Sableye, Cramorant, and Comfey. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Those are the four.
Two of those four are like the best anti-tank Pokemon we have in the game. Like, I would say both Scyther and Cramorant do decent against high HP pool targets. Delphox,
sort of.
Another one. Yeah, okay, sort of, true. But the amount of healing and tank we have in this current metagame is ridiculous. And we do not have that many answers to tanks. So tanks, kind of broken right now. So you should be revolving your draft strategy around it, I think, personally. Anyway, go ahead.
But the basic idea was, if you just pick Slowbro on first pick, we played out a bunch of different drafts, and there was no way that the draft ever played out in a way that wasn't in our favor if we just took Slowbro first every single time.
Yeah.
For second pick, it's obviously a bit more complicated than that. We had a lot of individual prep per team. Something I've talked about like recently is, hey, a lot of the North American teams have, especially on their carry player side, 2 to 3 players that all only play like 1 or 2 months.
Right. Yeah, we do have on a few teams.
So like that definitely, like that means you can kind of shape drafts in a way. And like you saw that, especially like the way we drafted versus Amaterasu was, I was going to say like on broadcast, we only got to sell the draft versus Amaterasu, I guess. There are only 2 series of broadcasts where I was on Amaterasu. But like if you went back and looked at our Kaizen drafts, they were very, very different from our Amaterasu drafts.
Interesting.
Our Amaterasu drafts were very specific and targeted at like, hey, your bottom laner will always play Decidueye or Gardevoir, like 99% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just going to pick things that do well into that, and your jungler is always going to play Glaceon or Zoroark.
Yep.
So we pick stuff like Blastoise, right? We're both those, like none of those four picks really love Blastoise.
No. Yeah, Blastoise is kind of NA's darling, I feel like, especially after this tournament. Blastoise is crazy. But it plays really well into a lot of those high burst damage picks, so...
Mm-hmm. And then obviously, like, we also had, like, very high Pooper priority, which I think is totally correct, like...
Yep.
Especially
when you have ELO on the team as well, like, right? Like, that is something that we have to credit your roster for, is if you have ELO, give him the ball, man.
ELO Supa was absolutely crazy, and he performed really, really well on it.
Yep.
It was kind of funny, because leading up to the tournament, like, everybody talks about Oblivion Mew... Almost all of his games this entire tournament were Sylveon.
Yeah. that did make my prep and hype feel kind of dumb. When I was like all promoting this tournament, I'm like, keep an eye on Oblivion Mew. It's absolutely insane. And then the griefer just plays Sylveon the whole tournament. So I don't know. I don't know. Oblivion hates me, I think, is the...
He felt a similar way. I think we talked about it right after the thing. And he was like, man, I just played Sylveon the whole time, huh? Is JL's fault he kept drafting new support? Yeah, it's partially true.
That's great. Okay, so that was your game versus Amaterasu, and then, well, you played them a second time in Grand Finals, I'm sure that, and Amaterasu ended up taking a game 2-0 in the first game of the Grand Finals.
Did they?
Oh, this Battlefy is incorrect then.
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay, thank you. I was like, yeah, you didn't reset. Hold on. Yeah, okay. And then you won against Amaterasu.
I was like, I do not remember us dropping more than one game. I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know why that. I don't know why that happened. All right. Well, anyway, thank you so much for the breakdown, Lacedon, on your tournament run. But Deucenex, you got to watch a lot of drafts as well from the caster's chair, which is always fun to try to break down mid-match what these teams are doing, where the mental game is at. What were you kind of noticing in terms of differences between EU and NA when it came to drafting on these teams?
It's hard to analyze when the decisions don't matter. And I say that because it's Ascended, this particular event looked so far head and shoulders above everyone else that it, like, at some point you just have to admit that you, with one ban, you can't actually cut Ascended off from anything.
Yeah.
Because the whole team is so dynamic and it just doesn't really matter anymore. so then you're almost just banning stuff that you don't want to deal with, not trying to impede the other team in any sort of way. And I don't want to say that teams didn't adjust to that, because some certainly tried to make moves in that direction, specifically like Amaterasu in the Grand Finals, like tried to do something more favorable to the direction they wanted to bring their team. But in some of the other games, it was like, I mean, doesn't matter. Like, I think I even said once, like, you could send Overlord to the top path with a ham sandwich and he's coming back. You know, he's still making it to base and Reggie at level 9. It just doesn't matter anymore. So I think the overall feeling I got watching NA specifically was, man, there are a lot of good teams or a lot of good players, but the gap between Ascended when they're on and everyone else is a large gap that teams need to figure out how to close, and very quickly, because March is right around the corner.
That is true.
That is true.
Do you have any particular idea why that is, Deucenex? Like, do you, because this didn't used to be the case. Like, NA used to be super competitive amidst the top four, even. Like, I know Blackhand was so incredibly strong near the end of last year, but I do think that there was a closer gap between them and some of the teams. By regionals, it was getting farther, but I think a tournament before or so, it was quite competitive amidst those top four, top six or so. Why do you think that's different this year?
So just two things off the rip. So it's me spitballing here. First off is we never really got to see a fully powered up Ascended last year until the end of the season, because Overlord was always doing something, right? Or Book decided to air quotes retire for a bit.
Esports retire. I love it.
Exactly. But, you know, if I can use TTV as a case study, for example, one of the biggest headwinds they faced last year was a flip compositions, right? They would get ahead, they would control the game, and then it would slip through their fingers when it came to Zapdos. And that's exactly how Amaterasu beat them again in this event. They
with
were
a little bit of help from Regirock.
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, that might have been game two, but that's game two for game one, and we're looking at the same thing, right? They controlled most of the game. They're up on experience. They tried to do their, you know, airtight defense around the main objective, which, you know, if you go on Ender's YouTube channel and recapping the event, that's exactly what kind of their overarching strategy was, which I get. But at some point, you have to just flip that shit. You know what I mean? You just have to do it. You know, you're up 2-3 players. Get in there and just get it done. And for some reason, I think it's, I don't know if there's the onus of, or like the dark cloud of like, oh, we're just flipping or ripping or whatever it is. It's a 10-minute game. Like, you can't waffle around. I mean, they play a perfect 8 minutes. And for some reason, Zoink, you said it last year, man, they just got James Bonded out of another win. You know, like, you know what I mean? So I want to see TTV keep up this amazing presence and this amazing play style they have for 8 minutes. But understand, they need to, at some times, not every time, of course, but sometimes they just need to say, okay, this is it. And we have to take this 75-25 and just go for it.
Yeah.
Because leaving it on the table leads to losses, and that's kind of how they got eliminated, I feel like. So I think that's one of Ascended's key differences from themselves and other teams that are phenomenal, that you can't like outban or outpick, is their malleability in the game to make adjustments and make critical macro changes on the fly that flies in the face of their strategy just because it leads to a win needs to be done. And I think that's why they're the pace car of NA right now.
Yeah.
And like, to TTV's credit, right? They're dealing with a like semi-double role swap. Technically speaking, Retsu's original role was top lane.
Mm-hmm.
But also
four roles ago? I'm trying to remember.
Sure. But like, he played top lane at a time where it was one character and one character only, right? All you had to know was Lucario, and all he played was Lucario, and that was fine.
Yeah.
But then he switched to support, and he had to play like Hoopa and Blissey. But like, now he's back to top lane, but top lane is just an entirely different universe from where it was when he left. So it's basically a double role swap. Lutano was their top laner, right? Like, he's now in the jungle, and his pool, I mean, you know, like, he's very good on his picks, but his pool does suffer a little bit because hasn't been a jungler for very long. Like, I think that they will continue to like get better throughout the year. Like, they're still definitely a very like scary team, and we take them very seriously. But yeah, I do agree that they need to, that there's definitely some things they need to work on.
Yeah.
And I think Dupesnacks, did you have another point you wanted to talk about NA before I like launch into a point about it?
No, go for it. That was okay. Kind of where I wanted to leave the open-ended conversation right there.
Sure. All right. So Sneaky mentioned this in the chat earlier, and I completely agree with him. If you think about like the top five top laners from last year, or like most of them are still playing, right? If you think about, and like top lane's a pretty essential role, same thing with attacker, but like arguably the most essential role in the game, jungle. Think about the top five junglers from this year. Where are they?
Yeah, Toon goes to EU, Rin's no longer playing, Jungle Book's retired. I had Kratos up there, so he's still playing. So
yeah,
I don't know after this. So, but yeah,
but like the people that you would call like that, all four, like we'll say like the top three junglers from like, or the junglers for the top three teams. Trainer was arguably top five jungler last year. All right, cool. Kyrios was an attacker.
Yeah,
and Lutana was a top laner, right? Like we just have entirely new jungle players. The only like remaining one of the major like junglers from last year was Celestial, and their team did not perform very well this time.
Right. Yeah.
So that's it's like true. A pretty big adjustment for the region. The meta is very, very different. There was a lot of like last minute breakups in off season. Like there's like some, like there's always some drama, right? Teams that were expected to qualify didn't.
Yep,
like a lot of people expected that Spinal team to qualify and they just straight up didn't. GT.
GT.
Super strong roster. I would say easily stronger than like some of the rosters that did actually qualify, but like they just choked it last minute.
Okay, that's like a whole nother topic we can get into, is like what do we expect for teams to like bounce back? Do we but in general, now that we've looked at both North America and we have looked at Europe, we have a pretty clear top eight on either side. Do we expect it to change a lot in March, or do you expect to see like seven of the eight teams in both regions in March finals again? Deucenext, what are you thinking? Are you expecting a lot more teams to rise to the occasion, or do you think we're going to be kind of sticking with this front pack again?
For NA, I think we can expect some shakeups.
Okay.
Makes sense.
Well, one of the teams that is in top eight is just gone. Like, I can tell you that for sure. That team does not exist.
Oh, Wish. Yeah. Wish is not playing again anymore. So that's fair. All right. Fair enough.
So we'll say I expect more changes than seven out of eight. We'll say giving Wish the benefit of the doubt into my own guesswork here. EU, I'm not so entrenched into how deep the pool of talent goes, so I'm going to just gut read and for myself and say I'm expecting something very similar out of EU next month. That's where I'm sticking. I think NA has the biggest possibility for shakeup.
For big shakeup, Team YouTube shoutouts in chat. If you're looking forward to watching some Team YouTube gameplay, keep an eye out for Unix Mayhem Season 3. It's going to be pretty exciting. Lesson and thoughts. Do you expect a lot of change up in North America, EU? Or are you thinking, like, Dupes next, NA will see some changes, EU will stay relatively the same?
Yeah. So I know there's a couple of, like, major roster shifts that have been happening behind the scenes. Like, Spinal's already a little bit different than they used to be.
Cool.
There's allegedly a new team that is like pieces of Exodia that I've been hearing about.
Interesting. Okay.
There's like whatever happens to the players that were on Wish. There's like, obviously GT, I think, is sticking with their same five. What I understand.
I heard the same. Yes.
Yeah. And like Radiance is sticking with their same five. I think that there's a lot of teams that'll just continue to scale throughout the year. And it'll be anybody's guess, like how it ends up. Currently, it kind of feels like you have a 100% tier, which is us, and then you have like a 75% tier, like for like consistency sake, right?
Oh, sure, like likelihood of showing up at the next top eight.
Yeah,
cool.
Like, I'll say likelihood of showing up, but like just showing up on the day, right? Like, and like playing their hearts out to their best. Okay. Like we like 99% of the time will, and then like Amaterasu and TTV both have had some consistency issues. But they're still like very clearly the next two.
Yeah. And then beneath them, they're both amazing. I love those two teams.
Yeah, and then like just right beneath them, I think you have like a big spot where you can put like Radiance GT. Honestly, like maybe I'd have to see a little bit more out of Ignorance, but like maybe you can throw them there.
Yeah, top four, obviously.
So Kaizen's there. Like there's a lot of teams that I think belong in that third tier, and any one of them could have get top four.
Mm-hmm.
And then like we'll have to see how the other rosters shake up, because obviously it's not just a matter of talent, because like some of the rosters that are coming out do sound pretty good, but it's also a matter of how well they mesh.
Yep. And so, your team is a credit to this. Dupes Next, you have talked on and on about how you think this is a positive for teams. I mean, teams that stick together through tough times and through good times are always going to become much stronger, and you just have more reps and chemistry with that squad, and mm-hmm. constantly swapping up these rosters, it's going to be tough to pick up momentum. I'm thinking March will be a momentum gaining month for a lot of these new teams. I don't know if it'll be an amazing performance for any of these newer teams. I think we should just look to the old consistent ones. That's in my personal opinion. But all right, I think we've talked about February Cup quite enough, but obviously that was going to be the bulk of our show no matter what. It is the breakdown. I did want to mention a bit of a recap for other regions outside of North America and EU. In Brazil, 00Nation did win theirs. That's just Zeus OG Life with a new sponsor, so their Baby Mazo and company and Sato mm-hmm. and company are still killing it. Latin America North, Hoenn won that one. Hoenn, I unfortunately forget some of the players, but I do know there is two teams participating in that region who are like sister teams, Hoenn and Unova. I think Unova got top four. Hoenn actually took the whole thing home. So obviously a lot of teams competing and coordinating in that region. Latin America South, no surprise on this one either. Qlash takes that one home. Honestly, just one of the most consistent squads out there in terms mm-hmm. of performing in their mm-hmm. own region. Right up there with 00Nation, or formerly Zeus OG, like just unbelievably good consistent performance. And then OCE, a brand new organization, some players that you may recognize, but XO Clan taking that one down. iClan, the world champs from last year, losing in grand finals. So XO Clan taking the win for OCE. But
also quick shout out on OCE, one of the players that was top eight at the OCE event came out as Drans on Twitter recently, so shout out to them.
Okay, yeah, fantastic. That's on XO Clan member.
It wasn't on XO Clan. I don't remember which team they were on.
Okay.
I know they're not. I remember their name though.
Okay. Well, great. Another shout out to OCE, of course, Kilo, Soros, and Nuggy. Just thank you so much for putting on a broadcast of that region. Yep. Since we don't have an official one, you are a godsend. Thank you so much for supporting your scene in that region. It is not go unnoticed, specifically by me, because I need to watch those regions. So thank you so much. Yeah, I think due to lack of time, we're going to skip past the ACL stuff. Playoffs are going kind of crazy right now. We did want to talk about one specific region in the ACL, though. India is kind of a crazy update. Their playoffs have finished. The other regions have not. I believe this weekend they'll be finishing up their playoffs. But India went kind of nuts. Dupes Next, talk to me about what happened in ACL India playoffs.
Yeah. So Revenant kind of limped into the fifth spot, which means they needed to play in the essentially every round, right? So how you finish the season is where you started. So the team that finished first in the season was essentially already in the grand finals, right? And then it was kind of like a waterfall down. So Revenant, being the fifth seed, had to play the fourth seed, then the third, then the second, then the first to win the entire event to qualify and go to Malaysia. And they won every single round, which Revenant was the India representative at Worlds last year, struggled through the ACL, to be quite honest, not measured up to certainly what they expected, definitely not what I expected. But man, they eked in and they took every single advantage of that opportunity and won four consecutive matches to qualify themselves and take that that top spot. So shout out to them, heck of a run and a hell of a bounce back for sure.
Yeah, absolutely ridiculous. They beat God's Reign 2-1, True Rippers 2-1, SAUL they beat 2-0, and then the grand final against Marcos Gaming they beat 2-1. So shout out to Revenant Esports. I don't know what happened in group stage, if that was a poor performance and then playoffs was their true performance, or if they just leveled up an insane amount day of. I don't know. Either way, wicked run from your team. A really fun storyline for that region, which is getting a lot more eyes. I'm hearing more and more pro teams being like, hey, check out India. There's some crazy games going on there. I know a few top players have started actually coaching teams from India. I know Toon coaches one, and there's a couple more players that also do. So there is definitely that region as a whole is leveling up rapidly. And if you're not paying attention, then you better start. But
they were very active in the off season of trying to pick up Western coaches for sure.
Oh, interesting. Well, very cool. Okay, so that is the news there. Big point of news discussion, though. We did want to talk about regionals for North America. Finally have a date and location. Our hunch was correct. We are going to be a part of the North America International Championship for Pokemon, so on the same stage as Go, VGC, and TCG in Columbus, Ohio. The first in-person event for North America, and it's going to be pretty hype. I am honestly ecstatic. Ohio aside, it's going to be amazing. I'm really pumped about the event. Thoughts on us being a part of NAIC, Deuce Next?
Oh, it's huge. Come on. Live event. These teams are going to be squaring off in person. Brings an air of importance and brevity to this event, which is obviously important. And of course, it's just another stride forward towards, you know, being an esport. So I am all in favor of that, without a doubt.
I honestly can't wait. Lazadin, what are your thoughts?
I'm super excited. We've already started looking at Airbnbs to plan ahead of time. Like, you know, we're very, very hyped. Obviously, you know, I'm Googling where to find feminine looking hazmat suits.
Sure. Yes. Ohio having a tough time at the moment, but yes. Yeah.
Obviously, there's always that like safety concern in the back of my mind, but like, yeah, overall, I'm like super, super hyped, and I'm very excited to meet everybody there, because I didn't actually get to go to the Worlds last year. So
yeah. Yeah. I am pumped. I am obviously also going to be there no matter what, whether I get to work the event or not. I am ecstatic. It's going to be a really fun event. I am personally very excited about being a part of the NAIC production. I think that is a really cool aspect of Pokemon, and we should lean into that more and more and more, if at all possible. I want Unite to be kind of welcomed into that, you know, family that TCG, VGC, and Go have, because I think it's really cool. And I don't like when Unite just kind of feels like we're on the outside looking in. I think when we're all part of that big family, it's just high tide raises all ships kind of thing. So for dates for that one, regional finals open qualifier happens on June 3rd. And then at the end of the month is that actual in-person event. So the 30th or something like that. So the event will happen. It will be a double elimination bracket, the open qualifier, but this one will qualify 16 teams to make it to the regional finals. Those teams will all be invited. Now, one topic of discussion we have discussed, it's not particularly clear if regionals qualified teams get a travel stipend to get to Columbus.
I don't know.
The odds are yes, but it really is a coin flip. We don't actually know. The rules dictate travel awards, of course, for the World Championships, but they don't really mention regional championships at all. International championship events are awarded travel stipends for top players in VGC and TCG. I don't know if Go does the same. Yeah, because Go's qualification is different. You don't earn CP in Go. If you get first in a tournament, you go to Worlds. If you get second in a tournament, you're qualified for Worlds. End of process. Like that is how they qualify for there. So but interesting, that is how the event is looking forward. But yeah, it's going to be a round robin into double elim. We'll have a peek into what that's going to look like in Aos Cup, of course, but it's going to be awesome. I do want to say to anybody who's listening to this, there is a non-zero chance that Overdunk does a live recording of a podcast in some kind of event space where people would be able to come and attend and hang out with all of us. Not saying it's going to happen. It's a pretty big maybe, but it is a non-zero. So just, you know, keep an eye on the timeline. We'll make it happen. It'll be a lot of fun. But yeah. Any thoughts on format for regionals? We're looking at a round robin. It's top eight. And then top eight from that, we have a four teams picked to represent the region at Worlds. Any thoughts on this format? Seems very similar to last year.
I'm just glad it's live. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true.
I thought the format worked well last year, and I think it'll work well this year.
Yeah. Four groups of four is very cool.
It was four groups of five last year, right?
Yeah, it was four groups of five last year. That is correct. But this year it should technically be four groups of four, because only 16 teams are making it. So yeah, we'll see how that looks like. And then it'll just go into 8-team double elimination bracket after that one. It'll be a lot of fun. It's going to be live. Upcoming tournaments, of course, we have the March Cup coming up very, very soon. Literally not this weekend, but the following one. Everyone's back to participating in the Open Qualifier, which, Lazen, you mentioned you weren't super pumped that your team had to participate yet again in an Open Qualifier. But let's talk about the format first of the finals a little bit. The format has changed since last year, but unfortunately, the broadcast did not. We have only 8 teams making it to the finals, and those 8 teams do not get any kind of auto invite into the next finals. They do have to participate in the Open Qualifiers again. Do we have any like hunches of why this decision was made? Like, why the reasoning behind not the auto invite? Is it just because CP matters more, so they want to keep it more competitive, not like, you know, such an advantage for winning an early tournament? That's like the only thing I can think of.
No, I mean, that makes sense to me. It's just off the rip, of course, you know. Mm-hmm. The expectation should be of the best teams to continually qualify, I guess, and if not, give the opportunity for other teams to make it close.
Yeah.
So I'm with you, Zoinks. That's the only kind of thing that makes sense.
Okay. Hypothetically, I would agree with the reasoning. Like, that is probably the reasoning, but I also don't super like the reasoning because this game is so very volatile.
Sure. Like, yeah, I mean, that's like out of the tournament format's hands, though. You know, like that but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, like, obviously, like, you know, like, I'm not, like, you know, like, it'd be nice to just have to just, like, have an extra weekend where you can just kind of, like, sit back, just scrim and practice whatever we're doing. Oftentimes, like, the Open Qualifiers are good for content.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of, like, you know, it's really great to see the community coming together and, like, people streaming it. But also, it's, like, it's very not great practice. So you just kind of end up on your, like, your Saturday just kind of playing maybe one hard game the whole day, and it's a little annoying.
Hey, at least we have one or two hard games now because of that is getting cut to top now, right? Yeah, exactly. So we're a little bit closer. Also, huge shout out Latano, thank you so much for the massive raid. We're getting close to the end of the show, but I hope you and all of your chat is as pumped for regionals as we are. It's gonna be pretty sick. But yeah, so that is the points topic that we wanted to hit on. The other one is the fact of broadcasts that we wanted to talk about. Broadcast is only hitting the same amount of games that it did last year with the same with the way less teams actually hitting the event each time. Dupesnax, I don't know what you can or want to say about these changes or anything like that, but if we can just move right on past you and see what Lazen has to think about if you prefer.
I mean, I haven't been told anything, so this is speculation anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But my thought is that they liked the volume of games that were played, but didn't like the amount of time NA was kept waiting to EU, and therefore shrunk the teams on that basis to make it more logistic, like make it flow better logistically. I think that's where that concession came in, with the idea that, hey, we like the length of the broadcast for EU and NA, but we don't want to put a huge pin into NA to make them wait for EU to shake out, because that functionally doesn't make sense, and certainly didn't make any NA teams happy last year, obviously. I mean, we all felt the pain of that. So that is just my hypothesis, but nothing has been explained to me.
Gotcha. I love Sneaky Seal chiming in chat. A real answer is because I pay them a lot of money to keep myself relevant. Well, that's very true. As long as the tournament format stays this structure, make sure you tune into the very relevant Sneaky Seal streams to catch all the top 8 games that you else would not be able to see. So another person in the community that I am extremely thankful for, Seal. Seriously, just like Kilo, for covering OCE. Thank you so much for increasing the coverage that we have for North America at EU. It really helps a ton. But Lazarin, any thoughts around less or the same amount of broadcasted games?
So I get it. Like, I on the logistical side, understand that 16 teams would take longer this year than it did last year because for the game is more unstable than it was, and also draft makes it take 3 more minutes.
Yeah. And I mean, the unstable thing is not even, that's not a fringe case either. Like, that is a common occurrence. So, yeah.
Which is weird because, like, it wasn't really that bad last year, but this year it's gotten way more, like, ever since draft came out, it's gotten way more unstable. Yeah. So, like, I get it. But also, you know, like, I would like to see all, like, if it's that few series, then I would like to see all of them, you know?
Yeah. I agree. It's a huge bummer. Like, I am super disappointed that more games aren't being covered. I think it's super unfortunate. I really wish that our scene got more coverage because I think that grows the health. If chat is only seeing the same few teams every month because they're the teams that rise to the top, it's amazing because it sets the narrative for Worlds and these are the teams that they're going to become fans of and then cheer for at Worlds. That's great. But the future health of the scene will be helped by more teams getting showcased in the long run, and that would really help me personally if that was going to be a thing. I just would love for the health of the scene to grow in a bigger way. I don't know if we'll see any changes unfortunately up until this point. Maybe on the bigger tournaments, AOS Cup and regionals, we might see some kind of shakeup where more games get covered. I really hope so. But until that point, check out Chris, check out Sneaky, check out Keelosaurus, check out these other streams.
In fairness, the in-person events are Unite is listed as 3 days for those.
Really?
Yes. If you look at EU, it lists Unite on all 3 days.
Okay, fantastic. Right.
NA is still not updated on the site, but EU does in fact say April 14th, 15th, and 16th.
Okay. So there is a outside chance, though. Remember, so Pokemon, when they run their events, I watched all of the OCE, regional championship the national championship they just did for VGC, TCG, and Go. They do save championship Sunday for their one individual final game of each game. So there's a non-zero chance that, like, the finals game of Unite is just held for just that Sunday. Which could happen, or it could not, because that's not how it was at Worlds. It was different. Go and Unite both finished up the day before. So, who knows? No real answer at this point, but yeah.
It's just worth noting that is very different from Worlds already.
Oh, yeah, that is very true. That is very true. Well, all right. I think the only thing I wanted to touch on before we finish up the show is pay attention to all of Ascendant's Twitter feeds. You may have noticed a certain contract gif has been going around. Very exciting. I cannot leak anything because I don't know anything. So, unfortunately, and Lazadin does, but I'll never force it out of her. So I think that brings us to the end of our show. If any of you, Doofsnacks, if you want to plug anything before we go, now is the time to do it. Sell out, shout out, whatever you'd like to do.
Yeah, just want to bring some attention. Unite Mike's Mayhem Season 3 coming in March. March 8th is going to be our first day. So, earmark it, my friends, because it's going to be a banger.
It is going to be a banger. I don't want to say them out loud, but I have solidified the teams for the entire event already. So I'm very excited to see. We have a very, very competitive month upcoming. It's going to be awesome. And then, of course, TTV are your reigning champs from last year. So they're just going to be waiting in the finals to see who their competitors are. But it's going to be a fantastic few weeks of events. We have some very exciting news to reveal for that from Unite Mics and stuff as well in the future, but we'll get to that very soon. Lazadin, anything you want to sell out, shout out, plug, or anything like that?
Yeah, I'll make a very brief comment to the thing you alluded to, that it is definitely something I've been very, very excited for a while, and you can expect something very, very soon.
Awesome. The announcement of an announcement. Peak Esports Overdunk Podcast has done it. I'm so happy. Wonderful.
But besides that, be sure to be paying attention to MathCord on Monday, because there's rumored that after the Direct, there'll be a fucking massive patch. so looking really forward to that one. The week before a qualifier, which I alluded to at the start of the show, but I'm still salty about that.
And then this is Unite, maybe. I don't know. It's the game we play.
It's the game
we play. But yeah, and also a huge shout out to shout out to the Unite Battle Hub events that would, like, you know, they were running literally earlier today before the podcast.
Yep.
Like,
LATAM Open was happening. I have been having so much fun. I've been casting a lot of their events. They are an amazing group of people to work with, and the events have been popping off. I mean, good stream numbers consistently. And if you're looking for more competitive Unite and you need to pick up a free new Pokemon, they're always giving away licenses in the chat. Like, they're free. So get over there, go watch those games, cheer me on in the cast, and get yourself a free Comfy code. It's a spot to be. So go check out Battle Hub. Yeah, that'll be my plug,
also
too.
Also check out their Twitter, because they give away, like, so many Eos coin codes. If you just want 4,000 Eos coins, just keep watching their Twitter.
Absolutely, yeah. Oh, yeah, but Otter, you're not allowed in there. Anyway, cool. So we are going to be wrapping up the show. Follow all of us on the socials. You should already know where to do that. Unite Battle Hub, yes, go check them out as well. Overdunk Podcast gets uploaded on YouTube, on Unite Mike's YouTube feed. Go see it there. Also on podcast feed everywhere. Just search for Overdunk. You will find us, and make sure to tell us a friend about our show. Next week, we're going to be talking about more March Cup action, more Unite stuff. It's going to be a ton of fun, but we'll see you then. Until next time, get excited for regionals. I'll see you all later. Goodbye.